dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Well, hello there, SEC fans, and welcome in to episode 180. Can you believe that? 180 episodes that we've been doing this. Each and every one of them brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center of Chillicothe. They are your place for all kinds of fun is found under one roof. And you can look them up on the internet. Probably do a better job of letting you know what all they offer there by going to the net than what I could do, but you can find them at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Again, all kinds of fun under one roof. And they bring you this podcast along with a couple other people, a couple other sponsors. And we really do appreciate their support throughout these many, many episodes that we've been on here. I'd like to introduce the two young men seated just right and left of me. First, Shane Combs of SBC Sports Zone. Shane, how are you?
Well, doing really well, Bruce. I tell you, 180 is, when you said that number, it just made me stop and think here a little bit. Really grateful for Triple Crown and their incredible support. And I know our numbers throughout the years tell us that this is one of our more listened to shows anytime we do one of our all-league squads. So I want to say welcome if we have some new listeners and tell you that if you like SVC basketball, if you like SVC sports, really like to have you with us weekly. The podcast sets up to where you can listen throughout the week, 15, 20 minutes at a time. You know, fast forward, find your favorite sections of the show. But appreciate you listening this week and hope you enjoy it.
Yes, we certainly do. And the other young man seated over here, Mr. Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. Mr. Webb, how are you?
Good. Excited to get things started this week. Been a long week. Going to be another long week. That's always good, though.
Lots of stuff going on. But before we get to the show, guys, I didn't even mention this, and we were talking ahead at the starting to record. But, you know, last week I put you both on the spot right at the end of the episode. And full disclosure, we were recording it prior to the Super Bowl. And I had written down the picks from last week, including the score. Shane, do you recall what you said and who you went with?
Yeah, I was exactly right. I just didn't know that the Falcons had the fix on and that they were going to throw the game in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you were pretty close. Shane went with the Falcons, and he said the score would be 30-27. On the other hand, Derek, you went with the Patriots. Do you recall what you said the score would be?
I think something like 41-38 or something like that.
41-35. Yep.
41-35. Okay.
So I guess Shane was probably closer on the outcome as far as score, but obviously he like he said, he was right up until halftime. He was right. After that, he went very wrong. But I think he surprised a lot of people. A lot of people. I was ready to turn it off in the second half, but they came back, didn't they? So anyway, we'll get now to SVC after we get that fine thing mess out of our hair from last week. This week, we've got people talking about the girls' sectional draw. And first, Shane, let's talk about what you have heard. What are they saying? And second, what is your response to what you've heard?
Guys, probably a few things in terms of what they are saying. One, just the seeding process seems to have some people confused. They hear what we're talking on here. They hear different coaches talk maybe on the scoreboard show or whatnot as the boys are coming up on theirs as well. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I think they're hearing the term super sectional a lot. And I think the one question they're asking, what is it? Why is it better? Basically, to not get into too much detail, maybe we could do a whole show on this coming up in the tournament, maybe even have some different guests on to explain a little bit better. But basically what it would be is, let's say there's 30 teams in Division III or 31. I'm not sure exactly what there would be on the girls' side. Well, right now we have three different sites, and they divide those teams up somewhere around the 10 or 11 mark in most of those. And you basically would take all 30 of those teams and put them into one sectional. And you'd still get your 12 teams out. You'd still get your same amount of teams as the regional. But what that would do is it'd give you an overview of the whole district, and it would be harder for conferences to dominate the vote. For example, you heard me say this last week. I had the one person ask, well, why does the number 6 seed at one site have 13 wins and compared to a number 5 and a number 6 at another site having 8 wins? Well, that's a result of not having the super section. That's a result of saying, well, these people are over here no matter what, and these people are here, and these people are here, and that's kind of what you can get. You can also get a lot of loaded conferences within each particular sectional, and that can persuade the vote. So nothing's going to be perfect, but the super section would certainly year in, year out, control a lot of those things. The other thing I'm hearing, guys, has a lot to do with the online voting, and this is coming up in all sports. As you know, obviously, as we're trying to incorporate technology, just like anything in the world, asking, do I like it? And I guess as far as the online, I like it in a sense. If it meant going to the super sectional, I like the online voting in terms of making that happen, because let's face it, it'd be tough to put 30 some teams in a room and sit there for 4 or 5 hours and go through every vote. But I certainly think we have to understand that the online system has some flaws. There are some easy fixes. Again, we'll explain a little bit more. I won't bore you with all the details, but I'm not against the online system. I just think there's a lot of flaws that are impacting a lot of voting right now, and those are some of the things we'd have to work out. Again, if you're more interested in that, let me know. I certainly can set up to have some people. My brother Matt would be a great one to have. He served on the district board in terms of a rep. There's some other people I could have to kind of explain that a little bit more. I don't want to get into that, obviously, with our big feature coming up later on the girls' side. But those are probably the two biggest things, Bruce, that I'm hearing, and that's kind of where I stand on those particular things.
Okay, Derek, in your line of work, you've probably heard a lot of feedback as well about the seating process. What are you hearing?
I mean, mostly it's from coaches. For me, when I talk to them, you know, I kind of ask them, what are they feeling? You know, where do they think they'll land? You know, they find out, just when I was talking to Dean's Kyle Bradley this past Friday, asking, you know, if he would find out a little earlier, you know, then he would be able to announce it to his kids, to his fans, to their parents, whatever. They find out just when I do. So it's kind of weird that way. In a lot of sports, you'd think that, you know, the coach would find out their seed before that 3:30 or 3 o'clock deadline, but they find out when I do. So, but just, you know, mostly when, you know, I talk to them and I ask them, you know, where do you think you'll land? You know, they just kind of say, well, I don't know. I mean, you just never know. So I think it's a sense of optimism. But to Shane's point, I mean, I've also heard that they don't like the online stuff either. I mean, I think they'd rather be. I've had multiple coaches tell me that they'd rather be in a room, looking at somebody in the face and say, you know, well, you know, we want to put your team in an 8 seed instead of a 5 seed or whatever, a 6 seed, and here's why. You know, online, you just go on there, you pop in your teams wherever you want to put them, and, you know, you're good to go. So I have heard that. You know, I haven't heard much about, like to Shane's point, the super sections or anything like that. I think, but a lot of coaches, you know, they kind of take the cards that they're dealt and they play the hand. I mean, I think they would like to go back to meeting face-to-face, though.
All righty. New today, obviously, the sectional draw for the boys. First, Derek, what are your thoughts on what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess if we start in Division II, I think it played out the way I thought it might, with Uniota being the 2 seed, Chillicothe being the 3 seed, just because of wins and losses. Now, Eric Huffer of Chillicothe will tell you that, you know, in the Southeast District, they don't look at who you played, they look at wins and losses. And when it goes like that, I mean, you know, he's got a point. They played Pitt Central, they played Westerville South, Upper Arlington. You know, all of those teams have been ranked at some point. Mm-hmm. But so the Southeast District, you know, chose to both of those guys lose to Miami Trace, and that's really what kind of set up those seeds. But that kind of played out how I thought it might. But in Division III, I'm disappointed, to be honest with you, Shane. Yeah. I mean, I think I tweeted out something earlier today. By March 5th, four of our teams will absolutely be out of the tournament. Four of our local teams will not have a chance to make a district. Well, they'll all have a chance, but they won't have a chance against another team, but another team from their conference. Because you get in the Waverly 3, down there in the sectional bracket, you're getting a Dean and Westfall and Payne Valley playing against each other. Then the winner plays against each other.
Yeah.
I hate that, and I've always hated that. Then, you know, further up, you get Wazane Trace and Southeastern. One of those guys are going to be out in the sectional semifinals. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You can't change it. I wish it would be different, but, until we all come up with a common solution, that's going to be what we're going to have to deal with.
Shane, you must have some thoughts on this, I'm sure.
Well, my first glance was kind of where Derek ended there. The SBC head-to-head has to be the headline here, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when you look at Zane Trace Southeastern, and then you look, as he said, Adina Westfall, and then Paint Valley Huntington, and then the winners playing, as he said, you eliminate half your conference. So you almost don't even get a chance to see if this pair throughout the year and how we've been battle tested, you almost don't even get a chance to see if it's going to work. So that's tough. But with that said, I mean, I still think we have some opportunities. Love Piketon's draw. Obviously Zane Tracer Southeastern is going to get a shot at Lynchburg. And then we're obviously going to get a team, to the combo out of that other bracket. As far as D2 goes, the Unio to Chillicothe, certainly the headline. I think Derek nailed that one as well. I'll add this in so I don't get repetitive with Derek, because I agree with everything he said. The one thing, and I don't blame the coaches at all, because as a coach, you always take the rules that are in place and then you try to put together the things you need to do to help your team the most. But guys, with the technology that we're using, if we're so big on the online and we're going to use the online voting, and we're going to have the quick turnaround with the quick data and hey, here are the brackets, I don't understand why we need to draw so early. To me, you have the tournament set, you know, the nights. To me, you play it all the way out. And then at the end of the year, you say, hey, here are the brackets, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And if you happen to be playing Monday or Tuesday night, well, then that's probably a part of your seeding. It gives even the higher seeds even more of an advantage, where you maybe have a week. People get a sense of where they're going to be. Like Derek said, you talk to coaches, they understand, hey, we're going to be somewhere in this 3-6 area. We're going to be somewhere in this 7-10 area. So you can start to do some early scouting. But a lot of these coaches, to no fault of their own, are strategically placing these games. I mean, it impacted the D3 girls sectional. Go check those schedules out, or those records out now, even a week later, and some of the brackets from last week are even worse, you know, because of where the records are now. To where I say, hey, let's play our 22 games out and then play. I've said forever, if we're going to go to the computer, I'm even okay with going to some sort of computer system where the coaches know, hey, here's the formula, strength of schedule, quality win, whatever it might be, just kind of like a football computer system, because yeah, if the draw is that flawed and we're going to be all in on the technology, then let's go all in with the technology and do that. Because Derek, what better way to solve the whole Unio to Chillicothe thing than Tuesday night?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just go ahead and play it out. So it's one of those things where, again, I'm not blaming any coach. I mean, it's the system in place. What smarter thing to do, guys, than to say, okay, here's the draw. Why don't I go take two or three quality opponents right before tournament that's not even going to hurt my seed? You know, so I get my seed. I'm going to go play two, three really, really quality opponents to get ready for tournament, and that can't even hurt me. So, I mean, that's just genius scheduling. But mm-hmm. what I'm saying is, why couldn't we change that in the format a little bit? And I think that would even take away – you're never going to get it perfect, but I think each of these ideas would take a little bit more away.
It's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of buckshot in your comment there, Shane, about – I mean, isn't that pretty much what they do in football? I mean, with the strength of schedule and everything?
Yeah, and I know in football you're always going to say, well, no matter what, if they have a week to prepare or whatever. In basketball, if you find out Sunday morning, you might play Monday night. You know? Well, I guess what I'm saying is you should have already have done your homework and have an idea of who your opponents are going to be. Plus, so many of these are, you know, the higher seeds are one game and out, or, you know, if you have a higher seed and you get a bye, that's even advantage you. So, I mean, it's making the higher seeds even more of an advantage.
All righty. Well, we'll tell you in a little bit how you can let us know what you think here in the feedback segment. But we'll go on here. Obviously, the highlight of this week's show is our All-League Girls Squad. But next, we will quickly discuss the Boys League finishing up and then give way to our feature section later in the show. So stick around for that. So welcome back to episode 180 of SEC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. With me, Shane Combs and Derek Webb. We're talking right now boys SEC basketball. And first, we want to get into something we received in the inbox. It was a fair, unfair type of question. And Derek, we're going to put you on the spot first with this one. It's basically, they say, fair or unfair, Unioto's streak, which is now at 54 straight, is not being appreciated by the league. Do you think that's fair or unfair?
Well, you know, I've joked before with people calling and saying, this is the is this called the Unioto Gazette? I'll probably take some heat for this, and that's okay. But you know, I think that's fair. I really do. You know, a lot of guys look at Unioto and they say, well, they're a bigger school. They should be winning those games. They should be beating Payne Valley. They should be beating Zane Trace just because of the amount of, students in each school. And, you know, while I get where they're coming from, you win 54 straight basketball games and it's an accomplishment no matter who you're beating.
Yeah.
This isn't a team that, lacks talent, obviously. And they've been lucky to have talent over the last couple of years. And I know that, you know, the people that say this is unfair, we'll say, well, that's because they've had transfers, or that's because they've, recruited or whatever. And I don't really believe in any of that. Either way, you have to go out there and put the ball in the hoop for 54 straight games more than the opposing team. And, you know, it's an SEC record. It's if they beat Zane Trace Friday night, it'll be 55 and on to the next season to continue that record. Yeah. It's impressive. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's an impressive streak. I write about it sometimes. When they broke the streak, we had a full length feature on it, and then now it's just maybe even on my part, it's not being appreciated. We put some in Roundup now. Hey, this is their 54 straight win. So I think it's become such commonplace for Unioto to beat an SEC opponent that we just look at it as another win for Unioto. But if you really look at the streak and you really look at how special it actually is and how it's never been done, and nobody's really even close to this now. And, you know, in our lifetime, this may never happen again. Mm-hmm. I would say that's fair.
Okay. Shane, your thoughts?
Well, guys, yeah, I mean, I think the word appreciate is where the question's coming from here, that maybe people are struggling to maybe look at the definition of that exact word. I guess my first reaction was it was unfair. I think people are aware of it. Do they appreciate it? Well, I guess it depends on what your definition is there. I think a lot of it, guys, has to do with the standard at Unioto is set. You know, only their talent level has become so much compared to the league that only certain games are as looked at as tough. So it's not maybe, you know, it's maybe not that they're not appreciating, and it's just that it's almost like they're looking, okay, they're going to win this game. Oh, there's one that they could maybe get in a fight with, and then they're going to win this game. And I think that's what happens on down the line. So I think when it's happened for so long, I think maybe that's a little bit of where mm-hmm. the appreciate, not appreciate comes from. You know, you look the next year, it's kind of tough to say. I guess Zane Trace certainly going to be an intriguing group. Swingles back at Paint Valley, but, you know, I'm not so sure if we're not going to still be talking about this a year from now. I think the people who have sense of the accomplishment certainly respect it. I just think, again, Unioto separated themselves by so much, much that I think a lot of times that's why maybe even as the media, we don't lead with the headline, or you don't hear people emailing us about this as much. But it's certainly an intriguing topic. I mean, obviously the streak is insane. I mean, when you think about what they've accomplished, it's amazing. And as I've said so many times on SBC Sports Talk, it's even more amazing to think about where this thing could get to before it's over.
It's like we're just used to it in a way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Shane, after all the talk about second place, we now know Piketon will earn at least a share of that coveted position, I guess. What are your thoughts on the final week of sorting out spots 3 through 7 in the standings?
Well, I think for me, guys, going all the way back to the beginning, we talked a little bit about Piketon. We certainly knew Adina, Zane Trace, Paint Valley. We're all there. We knew Huntington, Southeastern, Westfall capable. I think for me, the idea of getting the 10-4 in this league was a really, really difficult task. And I think with a Corey Wyman healthy at Westfall, as I've explained in other weeks on the show, I still think that would have been an impossible task. But nonetheless, here Piketon is with a chance to get to 10-4. Now, it won't be easy. I mean, if you look at Paint Valley at home this year, they've been really, really good. Mm-hmm. They, other than their Unioto loss, they blow a 17-point lead to Adina. Other than that, they've beaten a Lynchburg Clay, which is the number one seed down at Waverly. So this is a team that's really good at home. Obviously, Piketon's a tough matchup for them because of their age and their strength and their quickness and their ability to get after the young guards of Paint Valley. But it won't be easy. And now, and Adina's sitting right there waiting, hopefully, for them to slip up if you're a Warriors fan, so that you might be able to beat Southeastern to get your share of that second place spot. But yeah, I mean, it's I guess that's the thing. I go back to the balance, guys, is when it asked me what do I think about sorting it out the last week here, it's intriguing. I mean, and to look ahead to the tournament, you know, Westfall's been had some successful spurts against the Dina early in those matchups through the first three quarters. Huntington's had some chances against the Paint Valley. So I expect this league to take center stage down at Waverly and get into a lot of situations where mid-third quarter, it's going to be which team can make enough plays to take control. From a fan standpoint, I think we're in for a really intriguing finish and then an intriguing Waverly sectional in terms of the Division III teams.
Derek, what's your thinking about this whole thing, sorting out spots 2 through 7?
I mean, Shane kind of mentioned it, excuse me, on Friday, the biggest matchup is that Piketon Paint Valley matchup. You know, on paper and per standings, I think that Paint Valley obviously definitely has a shot in that game. And then, you know, say that Adina can take care of Southeastern, then we might be looking at that share at second place. But, you know, he's right. I mean, going down to Waverly after that, you know, I don't really think, you know, I keep bringing up Kyle Bradley for some reason, but, you know, he said it best. I don't even think Adina or Piketon is really looking at second place right now. They are fully now committed towards grabbing momentum into a postseason run. Mm-hmm. So that's why they want to win Friday. I don't really think a second place is on their mind. They haven't won the league. That was decided a long time ago. So they don't. I don't even really think if you ask either of those two guys, they'd say, well, that's our goal. You know, I think they want to win just because of that. You know, that whole momentum factor going into a tournament run. So I think we're going to see their best game on Friday night. And for us, it's fun because then that decides a second place race. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I mean, if you go in their locker room, I don't even think they're worried about that.
Just worried about winning and momentum going into the tournament then.
Yeah, but I mean, Bradley said it. He said it best. You know, he told his kids in the locker room before they played Zane Trace this past weekend, you know, he said, we can't win the league. Mm-hmm. What matters now is we're playing our best basketball at the right time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they beat Zane Trace that night and then take a tough loss on the chin at Lucasville Valley the next day, which is no easy place to play. So, you know, they're going to be looking to bounce back and, you know, playing the right basketball at the right time.
Okay. Shane, let's head to the boys segment of the Fast Break.
Yeah, sounds good. As always, we'll have it brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Obviously, the good weather here, we're hoping it's here to stay. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Great time of year to talk to them, especially if you're from the Chillicothe area. Let them know that SVC Sports Talk sent you and see if they could and hook you up. Again, let me pass that number on to you, 740-986-4653. So, Bruce, we'll go boys segment here with Derek first. I'll follow up. So if you're okay, let's go with the fast break of the boys segment.
When analyzing the stats, the overall scoring of the boys' league is down this season. What do you believe is the reason for this lower scoring?
To me, I mean, I think it's after last year's senior class left, I mean, a lot of teams don't have that one guy that can just break down a defender and create his own shot. You might throw Dylan Swingle into that just because of his size, or even a Logan Swackhammer of Uniota. But if you look at the Uniota team, you know, Peyton Hill may lead the team in scoring one night, Brandon Kennedy the next night, and then Logan Swackhammer the next night. So I would say that's why you don't have that one Pierce Mowry or a Jonathan Thomas or a Corey Wyman, to really kind of step up and say, I'm going to score 25 a night. We may have that in Swingle, but other than that, I mean, any other kid can lead their team on any other given night.
Yeah, guys, this seems to be a repetitive question that's come up, boys and girls, a couple different times, more so on the boys game this year, a little bit more on the girls last year. But I guess there's a few things that come to my mind. Piggybacking off what Derek said, it's led to youth. Those guys that he mentioned graduating or being injured, it's led to youth. Even guys that are considered older in terms of their grade are in spots that maybe they're not used to, new roles. We're struggling to get teams scoring those easy points in terms of some transition and some different things. And then you can almost guess, I'm going to at least mention this, the physicality of the game. I mean, it, you know, the more and more as we go on, just the contact on the shots and on the ball handling and different things, playing through contact, and anytime you have youth involved, that's even going to be more difficult to do. So I think all of that combined has led to some scoring being down, particularly in those top three spots, where I think our Adena Sports Medicine had them over 60 a game last year, and those are certainly down this year.
One fan's question after watching PV's Dylan Swingle was, why does the league lack the bigger post players throughout several schools compared to what we watched 20 years ago?
Well, you know, when somebody talked about Dylan Swingle to me and they asked me if they thought he could play at the college level, I said, absolutely. And they said, well, why? Why is he getting scouted by so many D1 schools? And I mean, it's not really even the lack of bigger post players throughout our area. It's the lack of bigger post players in this class, in this next really two classes throughout the entire region. And that's one of the big reasons that the Dylan Swingle was so highly recruited, is because there's a lack of size across the Midwest right now. So it's not just in our region. It's not just in our conference. It's in our region. But I would even look at maybe to the involvement of a 3-point shot. I mean, I think we've seen it more than ever this year. I've seen teams chuck up 30 shots a game from beyond the arc. You know, now they're starting to hit 11 or 12 of those 30. So. When you grow up in your driveway and you're shooting from beyond the arc at 6-7 years old, you're going to do that in high school as well. I would look at both of those factors.
Guys, I kind of have a sandwich theory, you know, with me, how I like to eat. I think I'll go and throw some food analogy in here. First of all, from the top down, I think the game, going to the higher levels, especially at the college level, the 3-point line, as he mentioned, has a lot to do with this. We're seeing more 4-guard lineups, a lot more spacing, playing the 1-post lineup. Well, then if you come from the bottom up, this has a lot to do with our little league culture. I know Lou Postage, good basketball guy for Adena, he and I had a nice conversation last year. In fact, that we shared a piece here on SVC Sports Talk, Bruce, if you remember some of that audio, and we were talking about how the new little league culture, the way we pick teams here in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th grade. Well, think about it. Boys mature really late. So if you are kind of tall and big, you're probably pretty clumsy, aren't you, in the 4th, 5th, 6th grade? Well, you may not be someone that they pick in their top 8, 9, 10, or you may not even be someone that can really go out for the team. So we're losing some of those kids with size. It's not that like kids have stopped growing. It's that we haven't totally gotten those kids involved. So I think that has a lot to do with it, too, is we're missing out on some of our height in terms of our developmental process at that 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade level.
In terms of all league selections, what is one possible thing to look for in the final game of SEC play this Friday night?
For me, I mean, I've got kind of my top 3 kids that I know they're pretty much locks on that first team. But four and five are just kind of out in the air for me. I've got it between Trey Postage, Brandon Kennedy, DeAndre Viney, Daniel Bacon-Hayster, and Casey Moore from Pike. And I really don't know. All of those kids bring something to the game of basketball. And all of those kids could really make good cases to be on that first team. So, I'm not really sure. I'm kind of, again, still watching to kind of have that final judgment to see, okay, well, that kid, DeAndre Viney has really came on these last two games. I mean, he scored 31 and 27 back-to-back. I mean, so you have to look at him now. Kennedy, we know what he can do. Postage does what he does for the Warriors. And Bacon-Hayster does the same. I mean, he's had consecutive double-doubles, other than if you take away last night's game. And then Casey Morris scored 16, 17, 25 a game, but he can also have his teammates step up. So, Shane, for me, it's kind of like the league standings. It's just all a mess, other than the top. And that's kind of where the for all league selections are coming in for me.
Yeah, I guess I would answer not a lot as well, but I think one thing to keep in mind, Derek, is you and I have a pretty good sense of the overall picture. But a lot of times on the official list, the difference between finishing second or fifth in the standings is huge. If your team's trying to get two or three. Now, you and I might not be impacted by that in terms of just giving an honest overview of who we think the top 15 players are. But I think that is key. Yeah, you did mention some good stuff there. Viney did have a big weekend. I know Moore is up into the 900s. I don't know if we have an official count on him. I don't know if he's quite to 950 yet, but I do know he's into the 900s, chasing 1,000. PV still trying to maybe get three all-league kids. Adina doing the same. So, yeah, I mean, those types of things, even though a kid going out and scoring 25 might not be the difference of Derek or myself putting him on the team, but again, the way these things happen in the official vote, if your team finishes second instead of fifth, and you're the third best player on your team, that could certainly mean the difference between you making it or not making it. That's just the way it is.
And that is our boys segment of the Fast Break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and tell them the boys at SVC Sports Talk sent you, and they will see what they can do for you. As we go out of the Fast Break here, I want to give a mention to C&K Athletic Equipment. They are your local school apparel source for all of SVC and in the region as well. They have fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. You can give them a call at 740-477-9828. Tell them that we sent you, of course, and they will work with you to see what they can come up with. Monday through Fridays, they're open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. Located at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Well, guys, now we're going to get to the final standings and the upcoming tournament before we get to the all-league selection. So, Derek, your thoughts on final standings and the upcoming tournament for girls?
Well, first of all, congratulations to the Southeastern's girls team for winning that gold ball.
Yeah.
That's their first ever, the first undefeated season since 1985 to 86. But when you go back, they didn't give gold balls out in 85 and 86. So, we witnessed history on Thursday night. And, I just continue to say this and talking to fans, talking to coaches. Each time you see Audrey Wheeler and Ella Skeens on the court together, mm-hmm. You see all these Hall of Fame induction ceremonies around the area. You're seeing two future Hall of Famers on the court in live action. So don't take – I wrote that in my column this week. Don't take that for granted. I mean, those two kids are absolutely top-notch kids, top-notch athletes. And I don't really know if we're going to see that on the same team like that on the girls' side anytime soon. So, yeah, I would say that. And I would also say, in the upcoming tournament runs, I'm excited to see how many girls' teams can win a sectional title. It's kind of different from last year because we don't have that one team playing against the other. We had Pike and Huntington playing against each other last year. It's a lot different than the boys draw. So I'm anxious to see how much success our league has.
Okay. Shane?
Yeah, it's really an interesting thing. I echo what he says about Southeastern, outstanding accomplishment. They were able to hold off Uniota, and man, did Uniota get better from January on, just like we thought they would with that young talent. Here's an interesting thing, Derek, that maybe a lot of people haven't stopped to look at the standings. Go down the standings in terms of looking at the consistency. We don't always get this in girls sports, and we did this year in basketball. Piketon gets Uniota once. Huntington gets Piketon once. Paint Valley gets Huntington once. Zane Trace gets Paint Valley once. Edina gets Zane Trace once. You know what I mean? It's really kind of a neat thing, because a lot of times in girls sports, we always talk about how it's a little bit more predictable in terms of maybe, you know, the makeup of the teams, where I just thought that was an intriguing thing. Obviously, the Blanton and Travis injury played a little factor in all that, and Uniota's growth, depending on when you played them or didn't play them, them getting better. But it really made for kind of a fun league. Girls basketball took a step forward. I think we've been tough on it in the past. There's been a lot of volleyball versus basketball comparison. As far as the tournament goes, the draw was tough. We may only get a few out. We'll see. I don't know. But make no mistake about it, no matter what happens in the postseason, I think it's been a positive step forward for our league. I think we have a lot coming back. We have a few 1,000-point scores coming back. And I would predict, not counting Skeens and Woods, I think there's another 8 players in the league, 6 for sure maybe as many as 8 in the league right now, that before they're done at their respective schools could score 1,000.
Boy, sounds like next year is going to be fun, real fun. Okay, yes. Shane, I'm going to turn this over to you and let you introduce this next section, because it's, as we know, probably what people might be listening in for this year, or this time in this episode.
Yeah, basically, guys, instead of doing the girls' fast break, I thought we would just allow us to have the maximum time, even if we have to go over a little bit on a special feature like this. But Bruce, if you're okay with it, instead of doing the fast break, we're just going to have this feature segment brought to our girls basketball fans, and really SVC fans for that matter, by Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, I want to pass out that number one more time. Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you, and see what kind of deal they can give you on some special membership packages. But Bruce, I think if you're okay taking the lead as always, sure. Here, I will throw this out real quick. I am going to hold off on naming any Huntington kids on my list, and I just wanted to explain why. Obviously, I coach the Huntington kids. Anytime you coach, you can't help but have a little bit of a bias. Even in volleyball, I felt like, you know, maybe at times I – you know, in trying to be objective, maybe even cheat. Like, you know, I said that, you know, I felt like Ricky McGill was the best volleyball player in the MVP voting. I went another route. You know, so again, that's fine for volleyball, but with me actually being on the staff and me being obviously very close to those Huntington kids, I'm going to go through my list, and I am going to keep Huntington kids off of my list. So Huntington people, if you're listening to that, that's why. But I just wanted to throw that in there, Bruce. So if you want to go step by step there, you always do a good job, Bruce, of kind of getting us in each thing that we want to discuss. Okay. I'll go ahead and turn it over to you and ask us in whatever order you want there on each category. And Derek and I will just have some great discussion. I think the fans will really enjoy it.
Okay, Derek, do you have any disclaimers before we get into this?
No, I'm going to actually be naming my Huntington kids. So if anybody wants to listen in from Huntington, this is the time.
Okay, all right. Well, guys, first we're going to start with the coach of the year, and I think Shane, I'm gonna go to you first on this.
Well, guys, I'll try not to make the answer too long, but as a coach myself, I want to use this public opportunity to highlight our league coaches, because I think what happens is year to year, sometimes you have really good teams, sometimes you're rebuilding, but I think it's important for our fans to understand we have some good coaches in the girls' league. It's just, for example, like Westfall's in last place, but Coach Blue here within a couple years ago was a coach of the year and a league champion. You know, she obviously is a very good basketball coach that's done a good job with that program. Coach Scott at Adina, he's one of the great basketball people in our area. If you go back over the history of following the game, I love what Adina Little League and junior high and JV, what they're doing with their culture. It's just going to be probably about 3 more years to where you really start to see some stability in that high school program. Obviously, Coach Denner over there at Zane Trace, if you go and and research his history as a coach. Great experience. Really did a good job of maximizing the Zane Trace experience. Coach Newland at Paint Valley in a league where they're the smallest school, and in the non-league where they play in Eastern Brown and North Adams. She has those Paint Valley numbers up. They're around 500 with a legitimate chance to win a sectional title. Coach Snyder at Huntington. If you look where the program was when he takes over and where it is now, even in losing eight seniors a year ago, comes back, wins 15 games this year. Coach Carino, so steady at Piketon, the consistency and the good program. Coach Miller with Uniota, obviously has a lot of young talent there, but he's such a good X and O guy and really puts talent into perspective. And then I'm going to go with my coach of the year with Coach Adam. Again, I just wanted, as a coach myself, I wanted a public opportunity just to highlight our coaches. You know, Derek, I know a lot of people say, well, he has Skeens, he should win every game. Well, you know what I tell them? He did. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, we play 14 of these things and he did win them all. And really, in terms of overall, other than that opening day against Wheelersburg, he's won, 20 in a row now? So what he's done with the program, you just said it. It's not like Southeastern has a history of winning these things every year. What they're doing right now is a special thing for the Lady Panthers program, and I think, even with the best players on his team, I feel like he's done the job, and we should honor him as such. Would you agree, disagree with that on the coach of the year part of the show?
Absolutely. I mean, that was exactly where I was going. I get it. He's got Skeens, he's got Wheeler, and then the Mittens, and then Morse, and then Collins, or whatever. But, I mean, you look at the other teams, and Uniota has Stelly, Coleman, Cottrell, Fisher, Theo. I mean, so the other teams have a lot of the other teams have just as much talent as if you look down their whole entire roster. Absolutely. I mean, and again, like we said, and like we said now, hey, don't look now, but Southeastern has won 27 straight SVC games now. So, they're holding their opponents to under 40 points per game this year. Chillicothe and Piketon are the only other two teams to do that in their area right now. You mix in defense with what, like we said, Skeens and Wheeler, and I mean, that's a recipe for success. But anytime you go 21-1 and you beat an Amanda Clear Creek, you beat a North Adams on the road, how can you not pick this guy for Coach of the Year? Great guy, great coach. I know he gets some of the criticism out there because he does have Skeens and Wheeler. But like you said, Shane, they lost one game all season, and that was the first one. And then they've ripped off 21 straight. So I think he's more than proven himself to be a Coach of the Year.
All righty.
No question.
Okay. We've got Coach of the Year. Now let's move into kind of a grouping, if you will. First, your Player of the Year, and then your top five or your first team. And Shane, we'll go to you for this.
Well, obviously, at the top's a no-brainer. Ella Skeens is one of the elite players in our conference, over 500 points this season. She's now 14th all-time. She's going to, as long as the good Lord continues to bless her with good health, she's going to finish a top four scorer, maybe even higher in terms of, one, two, or three beyond that, depending on what kind of senior year she has or what kind of tournament success she has to get extra games. But, as I look at that all-time list, guys, I certainly have seen all but a couple of them, and she's the best I've seen. So, I mean, Derek, I think it's well said when you tell people to take notice when you're watching her play, because she is a special talent. In my number two spot, I'll take another 1,000-point scorer and another junior in Lexi Woods. She's another potential top 10 scorer in SVC history by the time she's done next year. Really versatile kid that can really, really play. The second half of her season has been off the charts. She's really played at a high level. Then I'll go Audrey Wheeler of Southeastern. She is going to be a top 20 scorer. And keep in mind, she's playing with Skeens. And when they're out there playing together, there's only one ball to go around. So it ironically kind of reminds me of Ella's dad, Aaron, and then Coach Adams back in their playing days, guys. They both were on great teams. They made a trip to Columbus to the Final Four, and they both basically scored about the same amount of points. And, you always felt like, man, at 6'5", if they would have maybe not been in the same class, you wonder if they'd have had a year of of by themselves. Obviously, the team success might have not been the same, but you know, you just wonder what kind of individual number they would put up. So keep that in mind too, with the special careers of Skeens and Wheeler together. Then, as I round out my first team, I would go with Kara Blanton of Piketon. She's the best rebounder I've seen, a boy or girl, probably in the last 20 to 25 years of our league. Averages 14 and 14 points and rebounds per night. And then I would go with in terms of the way I'm doing my list here, I would go with Josie Fisher of Uniota. 14 points, 9.5 rebounds. Really balanced team. So statistically, it's tough to really judge, but some of the statistics you can look at, guys, when you're looking at a balanced team, is the efficiency. Keep in mind, Josie shoots at 63% from the field, best in the league, 76% from the line. So here's a kid that on a balanced team, what makes her so valuable is it's not like Coach Miller has to run like 25 sets to her a night for her to get hers. She just kind of gets it in the flow of the offense or on the offensive glass, and obviously when she shoots it, it usually goes in. So that's a pretty good combination. So those are the five I would go with in terms of setting our first team.
All right. Mr. Webb, you're up.
Yeah, I mean, I'd follow that up. I mean, obviously, as you said, Shane, you know, Ella Skeens being the player of the year, I don't really think – I think if she didn't get that, that would be an injustice to her.
Yeah, we should probably do away with the award.
Yeah, exactly. You know, leading the league in scoring, over 7 rebounds a game, over 2.5 assists per game. You just can't go away from her for that award, and that'll be her third time winning, very deservingly so. Then, you know, I've got after that, in no certain order, I've got Southeastern's Audrey Wheeler, Paint Valley's Lexi Woods, Uniota Josie Fisher, and then, you know, to round out my top five, I've got Huntington's Brayden Collins and Piketon's Kara Blanton. When you go to Blanton, I mean, she's scoring over 14 a game. She has over 14 rebounds a game, which is just absolutely ridiculous if you look at that stat real closely. One of the best instinctable rebounds, if that's a word. But I mean, she's just got great instincts off the board. She crashes them constantly. Brett Carino told me earlier in the year he's never had a kid who has just a knack for being around the ball when it comes off the rim. I mean, she shows that with her. She comes back from that injury and she really hadn't gone down at all. She can still play at a high level, so I go with her. And then, of course, Brayden Collins, I mean, how can you not go with her? She scored over 400 points, I'm sure, this season. I'm sure when you mentioned the 8 or 9 kids on the teams this year or next year that could score 1,000, she's got to be in that conversation as well. 39 the other night against Westfall, wow. Which is a broke a school record, I believe. Ariel Sams, I think so. Yeah, I mean, those two would top out or round out my top five. But, I mean, I just don't understand how you could go away from those guys. I mean, that would be an injustice to them as well.
All right, let's move on to the second team and Shane Combs.
Well, guys, I'm going to stay with the Uniota, and I'm going to go with Emily Coleman. I think the difference from last year's team to this year's team is obviously the depth of talent, but I think if I'm getting more detailed in the difference, it would be the ball handling and the decision making. She makes it a lot more difficult to pressure Uniota. Her assist total is up there in the top five of the league. She can really score it a little bit. She can hit the three. Just real good instincts from the game. So I think she's a kid very deserving of a high second team spot. The second spot on my second team, this might be one of the more surprises on my list, but it's something I feel strongly in. I'm going to go Grace Lytle down to Piketon. Again, when I talk difference from a coaching standpoint from last year to this year, one of the big differences, guys, on the Piketon team is her offensive skill. I believe I have her 9th in the league in scoring, and I understand with some of the time Blanton and Travis missed, you know, she was able to pick up some of that slack. She hit 15 threes. She's in the league leaders in steals, so she certainly fits right in with the way Coach Carino expects his perimeter kids to guard with great intensity. And I just really like the kid. I think sky's the limit. I think she's a kid that's in that 8 or 9 that I was mentioning, Derek. I truly believe that with her being double figures here as a sophomore, over the next couple of years, she probably becomes option one in terms of scoring the ball. So I just think she's a special talent, really, really good player. Moving down the list, record or not, I think sometimes we can get too wrapped up in the standings. Here we need to honor Alexis Putnam. You know, she's an all-league player. 12.5 points, 11 rebounds. She's really done a lot for that Adina program. She's played with a lot of young guards throughout her career. Adina's gone through a lot of injuries around her, and she continues to post numbers. She's had some really, really monster games in helping them start to win some games. I'll go back to Piketon, and I'll stay in their backcourt in my ninth overall kid with Avery Reuter. Maybe a little bit of my point guard bias. If you were to tell me Summer Travis here with her numbers, I guess I get it. But for me, I'm a little bit more of a guard person. I'll go Avery Reuter. She's tough. She defends. She assists with about three a game. Her ball handling. And I just think that her and Lytle together have had a lot to do. I mean, obviously it helps when you go 6'6" on the front line, but the guard play certainly helps, you know, Piketon do what they do. And then again, I'm probably a point guard or a guard bias here, and a lot of people may not agree with my list, and that's okay. I'm going to go back to Uniota's backcourt with Amber Cottrell. I think she's a difference maker. As I said, Coleman and Cottrell to me are the difference in that team from a year ago, Derek, moving forward. She can really shoot it. A great free throw shooter. She shoots the three. Probably, if not for a lot of the balance, she'd probably get a few more opportunities to score. She's a nightmare in terms of off the dribble, the way she can handle it and drive. She's only going to get better. So, again, I go Coleman and Cottrell from the Uniota backcourt, Lytle and Reuter from the Piketon backcourt, and then Putnam. So, obviously, I have some guard bias there, and I'm kind of favoring the guard play on some of the top teams in our league.
All righty.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with my second five, Shane. We've got Alexis Putnam, Emily Coleman, and Gracie Lytle all the same. The only difference in my second five is, and I know you're not mentioning the Huntington kids, so I've got Kelsey McDonald there in that second five. Then I got McKinley Midden, you know, for the champion Panthers. I think she's hit some big shots. She had a huge shot in that game against Uniota. I mean, really, without that shot, they don't win a gold ball. But I would have went with Callie here, but she missed some time earlier in the year. I think both of the Mitten sisters are very underrated. A lot of people don't understand what they bring to the court and what they give Southeastern's offense. They give them that extra dimension, and like they need another one with Skeens and Wheeler. But you know, Skeens and Wheeler can't get the ball. They can't score unless, you know, Callie and McKinley Mitten give them the ball. McKinley plays good defense. She can hit from the outside. She can score. She can drive. So I had her. And then, of course, Kelsey McDonald, she can shoot from NBA range if she has to. Sorry for my voice going in and out. I've got a cold. So I've been kissing way too many girls or something. I don't know, Shane.
don't think that's
but
it.
But don't tell my girlfriend. Don't think that's it. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate that.
Sorry.
Don't tell my actual girlfriend that. But anyway, I've got the McDonald girl there. You know, she just does everything on the court. Great athlete. I saw her the first game this year that Huntington played. And, you know, I think I told Shane this earlier in one of the earlier shows. I mean, I knew right then that girl's going to be a superstar. And, you know, she's lived up to the billing. She just kind of plays with Braden Collins there in that backcourt. They work really well together. So that would be my only difference in the second five.
All right. Let's go on to what we call our third team, as well as any honorable mention you might be considering. Shane?
Yeah, this is where it always gets tough. I mean, I think we could argue order, and I think, you know, this is a particular year because I think what you argue here is within your teams. How do you rank the Uniota kids? How do you rank the rest of the Southeastern kids? How do you rank the Piketon kids? So it becomes very difficult. So, you know, for me, I'll just continue down my list, and it'll be fun to see if Derek agrees or not. I'm going to go to Paint Valley to start my third team, and I'm going to go with Halo Dobbins. I think that on my honorable mention list, it'll put a Michaela Newland in terms of what she's done. I think with the guard play that Dobbins gives them a little bit of ball handling. She had 33 threes, which is second in the league, scores about 8 a game. Really, really one of the more improved players over the last year or two in our league. I like her game. Again, sometimes I think we can get all wrapped up in counting the standings and doing different things. To me, guys, I don't know how in the world you leave both Zane Trace guards off. I think a lot of times people say, well, I only have room for one Zane Trace kid, so which one is it? Well, to me, Arledge and Ward both belong there. They're basically a lot of the same player. They both average right around 9'8 or 9'7. I guess if I were going to describe the difference in them, Arledge is probably the more skilled basketball player in terms of ball handling, decision making, pure shooter. Ward's probably the more athletic of the two. Ward sometimes, from a coaching opposing coach standpoint, Ward can sometimes be the more difficult matchup in terms of just athletically keeping her in front. Guys, I want to go back to Uniota here as well. I certainly want to respect the career of Caroline Thiel. You know, we mentioned Fisher earlier. Keep in mind, Thiel, with them coming back, you know, with what she had done a year ago, you know, Thiel comes back. Her numbers are down a little bit this year, 8.5 points, 5 rebounds. But that's an example of a balanced team. You know, a lot of times Fisher, the first half of the year, is coming on the scene, and she's maybe getting that secondary post defender. So she's getting a matchup that she's able to take advantage of on the offensive glass or in different aspects. And then, you know, as you get to the last spot, you know, you always look at different things. Yeah, I mentioned Summer Travis earlier in terms of, I'm going to drop her to special to my special or honorable mention. You know, I mentioned, you know, guys, could you imagine if I put a fifth Uniota kid on here and have it named a third Southeastern kid, what the inbox would do? But I in all seriousness, I do think it's worth mentioning, you know, Summer Sigmund or a Cree Stolle might be, you know, by next November, Cree Stolle might be the most talented Uniota kid in the program. I mean, that's how quickly she's coming on and some of the special things she's done. Certainly haven't forgotten about Westfall. Just for me, you know, where Nadina has that one set yourself apart star in Putnam, Westfall with Robinson and Dudgeon just doesn't necessarily have that for me. So in fairness to Southeastern, in all seriousness, I do want to mention them here on the third team. It's just, Derek, to be honest, it's difficult for me to know which kid to pick. Mm-hmm. You know, you have such a unique situation with Skeens and Wheeler. You know, I thought Derek said it so well earlier in the show. It's a once in a generation combo. They are so talented that the rest of them, statistically, and I know they don't play a ton of minutes and so forth because of low outs and different situations, I'm just not sure. You have both Mittens averaging around 5 a game, Collins around 5 points, 4 rebounds. You know, I like the Morris kid. If I were just going to go on the eye test in terms of someone getting to play 30 to 32 minutes a night, what they do, I kind of like Heiss. You know, so it's for me, the struggle, I understand that there's no way you can't put a third Southeastern kid on here. I guess for me, Derek, obviously you'd pick McKinley Minton earlier. Just so for me, I guess that would be my difficulty in terms of settling on one there. But it would be too difficult for me to give another Uniot or another Piketon or someone without honoring our gold ball winner. So I guess that's kind of where I would stand separating that last spot to the honorable mention list.
And we're pretty much, again, 3-2. You know, I've got Thiel, Dobbins, and Ward on my third team. But I put Ricky McGill from Huntington there in the third five, the third five. And then Avery Reuter, where I didn't pick her earlier in the second. So,
sure.
You know, you said it correctly. I mean, they're just so, I think Dudgeon and Robinson are absolutely, and they're going to be first or second team players in the future. I think when they develop and get better. And, you know, like I said, I mean, Callie Minton and Rachel Collins, even for Southeastern, you know, could be dropped in honorable mention. Then, of course, I would have Cottrell and Stelly in honorable mention for Uniota. Uniota just such a – they're a conundrum to me because you never know. Again, it's just kind of – they're kind of like the boys. You just never know. Other than Fisher, who's going to score that many be the leading scorer that night?
Eric, do you agree on Stolle with what I'm saying? I mean, obviously Coleman and Cottrell have been spectacular. Obviously, I think that they're on my second team. But when I look at them the second half of the year and you think over the next year, a year from now, we could really be talking about Cree Stolle as a pretty elite kid in the league, couldn't we?
Well, and you know, you mirror exactly what Jeff Miller has said. I mean, I wrote a feature about this young squad at the beginning of the year, just kind of previewing how good they may be. They had never taken the court yet. And I asked Jeff Miller, I said, well, in 4 years, who are we going to be talking about? Who's the best of this freshman class? And he said, right now, the most potential is in Cree Stolle. And, you know, I mean, there's colleges already scouting her. She's a freshman. I mean, there's multiple schools looking at her from D2, and she's getting some D1 looks. I mean, so yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that she brings the most to the court in terms of, you know, offense and defense on both sides.
All righty. Anything else we want to touch on as we do that?
No, just a fun list. I encourage the feedback. I think it's fun. Obviously, I put Derek in a little tougher spot because, there are three Huntington kids. No matter what your opinion is, there are obviously three Huntington kids that are at least in the discussion. Mm-hmm. So obviously, that freed me up to mention a couple other kids. I certainly didn't do it to do that. I just felt like it was the more fair way to go about it. But I think it's an awesome discussion. I always put about 25 names down on paper when I prepare for a show like this, and kind of gives you a great sense of the layout of the league, and I would love to get some feedback on it.
Well, speaking of feedback, we're going to now provide you the information you need to provide feedback to us, and I'm sure everybody's got a different list. They may be in some of the same players, but maybe in different orders, and we'd like to hear from you guys out there that are listening to this exactly what you think. So, how do you get in touch with us? Well, first, you can email Shane Combs at admin1@svcsportzone.com. That's admin1@svcsportzone.com. He also maintains two profiles on Facebook, and you can reach him there. Send him a message or post on his wall, whatever you want to do. You can also follow him and then direct message him at svcsportzone.com on Twitter. Derek is available on both Twitter and via email. His first of his email is at dweb@chillicothegazette.com, dweb@chillicothegazette.com. And then on Twitter, again, a great follow, too. He's very prolific in his tweets. His handle there is at DW1509. I always wondered, Derek, where'd you come up with at DW1509? Obviously, the DW is Derek right. Webb. 1509 have any significance that you want to share?
15 was my high school baseball number, and 09 was when I graduated high school.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. Well, you can also leave us a voicemail at DBK Media Services listener line. That phone number is 740-569-3254, and you can call that line up, and you can talk for, I think it's about 2 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, 2-3 minutes, and leave us your input there. We'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we ask that you consider subscribing to our podcast. 180 episodes are out there on the site right now. If you really want, you don't have anything else better to do, you can start listening to us. I think it was, 2012, wasn't it, Shane, that we started doing this?
I have no idea, but it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I would encourage you not necessarily to go back and listen to episodes 1 through, 50 or something like that. They've evolved over the years, but you can do that. And you can subscribe using a podcatcher app. And on the iPhone, I know it's called Podcasts, but that app will automatically, at predetermined times, go out and look and check to see if there's a new episode out there, and then it'll automatically download it if you choose to set it up that way. You can also subscribe by an email, where you will just get an email when there is a new episode out there. You can do that on the DBK Media Services website at basically at the bottom of each episode. And then you can go through the iTunes store, and you can find SVC Sports Talk there. And if you do, we ask that you consider a favorable review and maybe even give us a great rating. But before we move into our post-game comments, we want to again mention C&K Athletic Equipment. We appreciate their sponsorship of this podcast and the help that they've given us. You can find them on the web at cnkathleticequipment.com. They are, again, your local school apparel source for this area. They have fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. So as we wrap up episode 180 of SVC Sports Talk, we want to kind of pose a final question here in our post-game comments to the two gentlemen. And we'll just kind of keep it short and sweet here, guys. Give the fans one headline for boys and for girls in the upcoming week. Derek, we'll go to you first.
For boys, I've got written down who wins the rematch. Obviously, you can't look at this week and not look at Chillicothe going to Uniota. Mm-hmm. So I don't even have anything for the tournament. I'm just kind of psyched to see both of those teams meet each other. It's always a lot of fun. There might be some fireworks, some extracurricular activities, and that's why I'm there. So,
to get
then
the
for
story.
The girls, Yeah, to get right, to get the story, exactly. Yes. And then, you know, for the girls, I've got, you know, SVC with the chance to win, you know, multiple sectional titles. I honestly think, you know, it'll be tough for Uniota there in that district, because they'll have to play Miami Trace to win a sectional title. But I honestly think you've got Southeastern, Huntington, Piketon, even Zane Trace and Adine, or I'm sorry, Pate Valley, in Division Four, that you know could actually win sectional titles. So it'll be fun to kind of start the tournament and start the tournament run, previews and schedules. So,
all right, Shane, what about you? Headlines for boys and headlines for girls.
Yeah, for boys, I think I'm going to go with the headline of peaking at the postseason. We've talked about it a little bit on the Friday headline. You know, we certainly still have some things to figure out. The Uniota gold ball in the streak. We have the second place finish and the all-league stuff. But understand, you have postseason matchups now, and you're kind of starting to prepare for them. So it's hard to not have some coaches and some different scouting, different things. Peaking to the next season. And then for the girls, I'm going to go with the headline of take it all in. Experience is one of the most underrated things in sports. The Piketon sectional, I think that's going to have a lot to do this year with what they went through last year. The Southeastern district, I think it's going to have a lot to do with what they went through last year in terms of what they're about ready to accomplish this year. So it's important for some of this youth throughout the league, not to say they can't win this year, but for you know, the Pate Valley and the Huntington and some of these younger teams and some different teams that are going through it for the first time, to take it in and understand the physicality of the tournament and what it's going to take, because as we've highlighted so many times, we not only have some opportunities this year, but we have a great deal of talent coming back in the future. So those are some things I would look at. And so, guys, I appreciate it tonight. I think we're just over an hour here, but obviously in the feature segment, we want to highlight the girls. And you, if you agree with it or not, what's so neat about it is we're able to talk about so many different kids, which is the number one goal of SVC Sports Talk. So, you know, give us your feedback by all means. Let us know what you agree with, what you disagree with it, and we'll talk about it next week. And keep in mind, next week, Derek and I will do the same for the boys' side, and that's always fun as well. So,
go ahead. Hey, and one more thing, just for SVC fans to remember, on Saturday of this upcoming week, is the I know we talk a lot about basketball, but Saturday is the Cider Valley, the SVC wrestling meet at Westfall.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah,
and then you also have Zane Trace's Olivia Flommer in the pool at she's a district qualifier. She'll be swimming at Ohio State University on Friday at 2:30. So just another, as we always talk about, just another other athletes, just so many athletes in our area that are great at what they do, just on different stages of every sport. So.
No question. Well said. And fans, by all means, if you ever have results or different things you're wanting us to talk about on SVC Sports Talk, all you have to do is take advantage of all the feedback options that Bruce has given you. So guys, incredible show. Look forward to doing the boys' side of it next week. And fans, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Service, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.